Great, you are. Thanks very much, Tom. The interesting thing here is probably that this presentation is going to be almost identical to the one Laurel just gave, maybe with the exception I do not have a picture of Mark David doing field work. Again, my name is Yava Kjærsgaard, and I am here to present a study we have in South Dakota on looking at the efficiency of wood chip bioreactors. Before we start, I certainly want to recognize my co-authors and student helpers that has been part of this project. Also want to mention that this work was some I was involved in while I was still on faculty at South Dakota State University. I've since then, a couple of months ago, moved to take a position with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. But since the work was done at South Dakota State, I kept the SDSU signature throughout the presentation here. And so really the objective of our study here was just to try and look at the feasibility of utilizing bioreactors in South Dakota. We know that we are a little bit drier and a little bit colder than many of the other areas where bioreactors have been installed, and so we wanted to document the efficiency of the bioreactors in that state also. And so here's a schematic of a bioreactor. Again, Laurel described that very nicely before, but again, it's in essence, routing the water from a tile drain system in through a trench that's filled with wood chips, and then there are bacteria growing on those wood chips that are converting the nitrogen, or reducing the nitrogen to inert nitrogen gas through denitrification. And then after the water has passed through the bioreactor, it is collected and then discharged into what normally would be discharged into a canal or stream or some other place. Also on this schematic are the control structures that Laura also described that are used to route the water through the base flow of the tile flow through the bioreactor, and then any excess water that we can't push through the wood chips are being routed into the bypass around the bioreactor there. At present, there are three bioreactors installed in South Dakota. The first one was installed in the summer of 2012 near Baltic, draining about a 35-acre field. Second was in December 2012 near Montrose, drains about 40 acres. And then the third was installed in the summer of 2013 near Arlington, and it's about 28-acre field on that one. There are another three locations in the southeastern part of the state that are planned to be put in but has not been installed yet. A couple of pictures, just like I don't want to show anything less than Laurel did, so a couple of pictures of it. Yeah, we used just a local contractor with a backhoe to do the work. So this is just starting about halfway through and then completion at the trench. Ours, this particular one is quite a bit bigger than the ones the Illinois folks dug. This one is about 20 feet wide and 110 feet long and 4.5 feet deep. So this is the delivery of the wood chips. Our contractor were willing to start digging before the wood chips came. We used about 2.5 semi loads of wood chips for this one, about 250 cubic yards. We did put a liner in ours as well. No, it's not necessary, but since this is part of a research project, we want to make sure that we could control the water so we don't have any vertical or horizontal water movement in or out of our trench here. Backfilling the wood chips, again, just using the backhoe. And then putting in the control structures there. The guy there with the black hat is almost as tall as Mark David, so you may be able to substitute his face onto that person, and we're pretty close. Sorry about that. Anyway, so putting in, this is the downstream control structures that we're leveling. And then here installing the manifold at the upstream end of the bioreactor, so that's where the one we used to distribute the water into the full width of the trench, and that's just regular tile, and so the water will be moving out from this tile line and out into the wood chips, and then it's just the head differential that pushes the water from one end to the other of the trench here. The bottom is flat, but we did not put any slope on them. Near completion, we put about a foot of topsoil on top of ours. To help control nitrous oxide emissions. We put just a few textile between the wood chips and the soil, the topsoil there, to make sure that the wood chips didn't get contaminated. And this is what it looked like afterwards. So the bioreactor itself is kind of that dirt patch, a little bit in the background there to the left, and then the upstream control structure is in the foreground there. So that was there was some pictures from the installation, and then some of our results. I only have 1 year of data, but they were from 2013, and they are in some ways pretty similar to the ones we just saw before. Again, we did not have any automated samplers installed, so this was all based on grab samples. We went out two or three times a week and collected samples both upstream and downstream of the bioreactor directly from the control structures. So on the x-axis here, that's the date of sample collection, and the y-axis is the nitrate concentration down milligrams per liter. The green line I put in is the drinking water standard, just as a reference. And so there is for each sample, there's a pair of points, blue diamonds of the nitrate concentration upstream, red squares is the nitrate concentration downstream. Now in the earlier part of this season, we had relatively low flow rates. We have very high removal rates. At the middle of June, we had several days where we got a little over 4 inches of rainfall. The system we're working on, the behavior is such that reduces or result in a spike in the flow rates. And so our removal rates, see if I can manage there. Oh, here we go. At this time of the month, our removal rates on the concentration baits were much lower. Later in the season, as the flow rates went back down, we removed almost all the nitrogen. In fact, had some cases there in early July where we had some unwanted sulfate reduction as well. Our second bioreactor at Montrose for 2013 is a little bit of a different system, if you will. One thing we certainly have learned is that each bioreactor and each year has its own behavior, just in the flow regime, but also in the removal rates. And so, although our overall concentrations of going into this bioreactor were lower, we had lower relative removal rates just because our flow rates were higher at this particular location. Comparing the two in a box plot, and again, this is all data from 2013, our Baltic site on the left, Montrose on the right, we can see certainly at our Montrose site, we had much more variation concentration-based reductions than we had at Baltic. But again, it's a different system and just a different behavior between the two. Unfortunately, we had some fallout in our flow measurements at one of our sites. So at 2013, we were only able to calculate our load reductions from our Montrose bioreactor. And so that particular year, we found between almost none up to about a little over three grams of nitrogen removed per cubic meter of media. There are a couple of other examples here, but Laurie just... From their bioreactors, they had between 4 and 21, so quite a bit higher levels. But again, our bioreactor is quite a bit larger, probably larger than it needs to be. But we went on the conservative side when we designed it, so that helps pull those numbers down. But certainly on the lower end compared to other studies. So if we take it a step further and calculating the load reduction per hectare. For this particular study, we came in at about 8 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare for this year. It's on the low end compared to a study that Laura and others did in Iowa. But as far as I could just calculate from your numbers there, Laura, I think you were at about 10, is that right? About 10 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year. So that's in the same range anyway, a little bit lower, but in the same range. Also, we did take a look at the retention time. Again, this is just one site and data from 1 year. So looking at the retention time, it's on the x-axis there in hours. Apologize, the font is a bit small. And then the percent nitrogen concentration reduction on the y-axis there. And so I'm not sure what to conclude from this figure other than if we want to get up at least at a 40-50% reduction concentration base, we probably are looking at, say, a 6 to 8 hour retention time. It looks as if less than six, we are just not getting the amount of reduction that we're hoping of. And then if we are up at, say, 11, 12 hours, well, then we have complete reduction. But again, that's where we start to see other unwanted impacts of what we do. Another thing that we saw, and this is well documented as well, is that right after startup, when we flow the first water through the bioreactor, we have a flushing of organics from the wood chips that tends to color the water quite brown. And that's a picture here of a water sample from our Arlington bioreactor right after we started it up in July of 2013. The bottle on the right, the clear water is water going into the bioreactor, so coming from the field, and then the brown water is coming out of the bioreactor. And so a couple of things. We collected water samples and analyzed it for total killed all nitrogen. And certainly the amount of nitrate coming into the bioreactor, 1 ppm or milligrams per liter, is very low. That's one thing. But the other thing is that we certainly add an amount of nitrogen to the water there. And of course, after that initial flushing, that those levels goes down. But I have a colleague, a former colleague now, who went civil engineering, who are looking at these early water samples to try and characterize the biostability of some of those organic compounds that are in the water that are being flushed out. Also, we looked at the installation costs as part of the study, just to see how feasible is it. And so we made some estimates. Well, of course, we had the installation costs themselves. It cost about $9,000 and about to install the bioreactors, each of them. About a third of that is the excavation and control structures. Another third, a little bit more, is wood chips. Transportation is a big part of that. And then the remaining is our plastic liner, student labor, transportation, that kind of thing. And then we assume certain replacement times or depreciation times of the various components of the bioreactors, including the wood chips, and then assuming a 4% interest, we try to come up with what that installation cost would be based on the total area that is being drained, the effective drained area. And so we came to about $36 a hectare per year, or about $14 per acre. So that's about, with today's corn prices, about 4 or 5 bushels of corn to pay for that. Part of it is also outreach activities. So we were able to get information about the bioreactors into various news outlets, primarily trade magazines, both the Farm Forum, the Dakota Farmer, Drainage Contractor, and then the South Dakota Corn Growers had a piece in as well. Also, we've had quite a few outreach activities where we've gone to field days, conferences, and elsewhere, both to reach out to both producers, crop consultants, agency personnel, and others, just to talk about bioreactors and how that might be a viable and feasible option that could be brought in the consideration when planning for a tidal drain system. Have a project website that still resides over at South Dakota State University, still available, that's being updated whenever we have new results. And then this is really an inter-agency activity. Listed some of the project sponsors, both some of the water development districts in South Dakota, the commodity groups, the NRCS, the USGS, and others have all put money into this project, and it's been a really good group of people to work with. And so with that, I'll take any questions if we have time.
I think that's all the questions. Thank you.
All righty. Thanks very much.